ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 36. Tasvat sarvatmana rajan Hari sarvatra sarvada Shrotavya kirtitavyascha Smartavyo bhagavandrinam. Translation: O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. It's like a perfect verse, huh? Let's say it again. O King. Oh, no, you know, it's just listen to the sound vibration, let it go in. It is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Let's do it again. Oh, King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. I want to do it again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of these methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literature are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the super soul of everything, mentioned in the previous verse, that's the tasmat. Since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the super soul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines, machinery. It's not bad, because through the machine one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear, because the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are made for that purpose. We're about halfway through the purport. living beings, other than human beings, have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing Vedic literature, it will not become a victim of the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and place. This is called Sanatana Dharma or Bhagavata Dharma. Sanatana means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavata means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. Lord's a bad word, right? The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. Final sentence. The word cha, Shrotavya Kirtitavyas, cha, includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga as mentioned above. Shrotavya Kirtitavyas, cha. Of course, there's another one. Remembrance, smartavya. Bhagavan, Rinam. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan nrinam. O King, one more time. It is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. And this is just the Lord in the Heart chapter. Wait till the next chapter, Pure Devotional Service. Where do you go from here? Huh? This verse is directly an answer to one of the two questions that was asked in the 19th chapter of the first canto. In the 19th chapter of the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit meets Shukadeva Goswami for the first time. Prior to that, we hear the glories of Shukadeva, glories of Maharaj Parikshit, several chapters. The qualified receiver, and then we hear about the qualified speaker. And we expect when the combination of the two, the hearer and the receiver, come together, something very wonderful is going to happen. So that subject matter is the subject matter that the sages want to hear about. And so Sutta is describing. They came together and Maharaj Parikshit, the great, great, great pure devotee of the Lord, great king, submits himself before a 16-year-old boy, who is Shukadev Goswami, completely naked, but on a transcendental platform, totally perfected living being, and submits two questions. Very succinctly, what is the duty of a person in general, and particularly somebody who's about to die, because persons in general are also about to die, and he's definitely about to die, at least he knows, you know, the countdown has already started. Of course, we also know the countdown, we just don't know how many ticks of the clock. So what's the duty of people in general? And particularly one who's about to die, what am I to do? What's my duty? And second question, what is that subject matter that one should... The very same terms are used, sarvatra sarvada, in all circumstances, everywhere. So this is the answer, directly. This is a very important verse. I only picked the verse because it comes just after the verse that Maharaj picked, because I didn't know we were selecting verses. So anyway, great verse. Something that's significant about the verse itself is, or the way it's presented, is that the process of hearing and chanting is transcendental. Evidenced by sarvatra sarvada, that is to say, there's the Vedic process and there's the Panchatantrika process. And the Vedic process requires very precise calculation of an auspicious time and an auspicious place with all the proper elements of a certain standard of purity and so forth and so on. And if you don't have all of those elements together, you don't get the result. Even if it's, you know, from a ritualistic point of view, an auspicious Vedic ceremony is calculated according to an auspicious time. Like, you know, the installation of Krishna Balaram or the installation of Panchatattva. An auspicious time was selected. Or there's a plan. It's February 14th, where the groundbreaking ceremony for the festival, excuse me, the temple of Vedic planetarium is going to take place. And there's a time, it's 12:30 on February 14th, because they consulted an astrologer. And that's an auspicious time. And so we're, you know, barring some unforeseen something or other, that's the plan. So we're taking the assistance of astrology, because it's nice to do something that's transcendental at an auspicious time. We can chant the holy name of Krishna at any time. And we especially like to chant the holy name of Krishna at auspicious times, like the appearance days of the Lord or on Ekadasi days. But it's not that we can't chant the holy name of the Lord if it's not Ekadasi. Or like the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Smarta Brahmins were objecting to the chanting of Krishna's holy name, except at the time of lunar eclipse. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you can say, trick, or his transcendental cunning, that he appeared at the time when there was this lunar eclipse, and by Smarta regulation, at the time of lunar eclipse, it's ideal to chant the holy name aloud. And otherwise, but at the time of the lunar eclipse, loud chanting, and he appeared. Yay. Because it's auspicious. But, so for what to speak of lesser things, let's say, you know, a karmakanda ritual in which one wants to achieve something very clearly material. So an astrologer is needed to calculate the right time and things facing in the right direction, just like during the Krishna Balaram Mandir, the Krishna Balaram deity installation, they performed this procedure of establishing a platform in that sunken part of the temple room floor at the Krishna Balaram temple. And you know, the red flag goes at this direction, and the green flag goes in that direction, and the yellow flag goes in that, and you know, like they were adjusting things, and there's a certain height the platform must be, and that this things go a certain height in the air, then the flag, and all these details for ritual, what to speak of again, karmakanda ritual. And if you don't get it right, just like Tvashta, when he was creating by mantra, Vritrasura, one syllable off. And the opposite of what he wanted is what came. He wanted a being that would destroy Indra. Instead, it was a being that would be destroyed by Indra. Indra-chatro instead of Indra-chatro-ho. Just the opposite. So imagine somebody performs a ceremony so that their daughter will get a nice son to marry, and it's one syllable off.
Son drops dead.
Etc. You know, so let your imagination go. One small thing. So it's either it's all nullified. So in the Vedic processes of rituals, there are four persons, four priests that are required, and one is the referee. So if there's a referee, if there's like some discrepancy, they have to back up and do it again. And the referee is the one that calls, you know, they have to back up and do it again. So during the Krishna Balaram Mandir deity installation, they were backing up and backing up. And the referee was like, you know, because they have these, they were the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they don't always agree, you know what I mean? So when somebody disagreed, they had to back up and do it till they agreed, because otherwise, even for the Vaishnav Tantra, what to speak of Karmakanda, it wouldn't get the effect. So, sarvatra, sarvada, the place and the time are irrelevant. Or, you know, the very simple way that we were taught, without knowing all the Sanskrit and the Karmakanda rituals and tantras and mantras and all the rules, was you can chant the holy name anywhere. Literally, even in the bathroom. You can't have a Vedic yoga in a bathroom. It's not, you know, it's a no-no. But chanting the holy name in the bathroom is a yes-yes. It's sarvatra sarvada. You don't have to consider the circumstances, the time, place, desha kala patra, any time, any circumstance, anywhere. Sarvatra sarvada. It's not bound by the Vedic limitations, the rules and regulations. Those particular time and place kind of limitations. Or you, then you can expand it. Who is eligible? Only certain persons can chant the holy name? No. Not based upon any material qualification, where you're born, what family you're born, how much money you have, how many lifetimes you've spent practicing Vedic rituals. It has no bearing on anything material. It's fully transcendental. Srimad Bhagavatam, excuse me, the Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Hari. So Hari Katha, topics of the personality of Godhead. The what the Srimad Bhagavatam, itself is that glorification of that subject, the very same subject matter that's being spoken of here. It's kind of obvious, but you know, it's woven into the text that where do you get this subject matter about Hari? It's the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. All the Vaishnavas especially appreciate, amongst all Hari Katha, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the Puranam Amalam. It's the spotless. It's the best. That's a verse from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. But the other Puranas, they say the same about Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, I'll spin out a little bit. In Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, in the Pramana Kanda section, he opens the Tattva Sandarbha saying, "Glories to Lord Chaitanya, my Ishtadev." That's proper. He glorifies Lord Chaitanya in very exalting ways and describes that this information was given to him by one Bhatta, subtext is Gopal Bhatta, but Gopal Bhatta requested Jiva Goswami, "Don't use my name. Please take this and publish it in a proper format on one condition. Don't use my name." So he didn't. One Bhatta. Bhatta means a learned person. Gopal Bhatta. But one Bhatta gave to one Jivakaha. Jivakaha is a diminutive term for a small jiva. That's him, Jiva Goswami. This text, and all glories to that one Bhatta who has given me this subject to glorify and explore all the knowledge there is about Krishna. So that's what this text is about. It's all about Krishna. But then he says, before we speak about that subject which we'd like to speak, we should decide, how does one know about that subject that you want to? What's the pramana? What's the means of knowing that subject, Krishna? Or for that matter, what's the means of knowing anything? So then he goes into this whole thing of the best means of knowing things. So it's a more elaborate version of what Prabhupada has taught us of there's pratyaksha, sense perception, anuman, reason, and shabda. So of the three, shabda is best. Okay. Out of all the shabda, what's best? He starts eliminating certain things. There's the Vedic and there's the laukika and alaukika. I don't want to go too far into Tattva Sandarbha, but the part I'd like to get to is he says, okay, out of all the shabda, the smritis are better than the shrutis. They're as Vedic as the Shrutis. In fact, the Shrutis say they're as Vedic as us. They came from the same Vedas. There's multiple Shruti references that say that, okay, the Smritis are as good and they're better because they're, the Sanskrit is accessible, they're complete. It gives a number of compelling reasons. He said out of all the Vedas that were compiled by Vyas, something like 8 to 10% is remaining. Could you imagine if you were given 8 to 10% of Bhagavad Gita and asked to say, what's the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Just supposing you got chapter 1. Good luck. What's the essence of Bhagavad Gita? But that which explains the Shrutis, they're complete. So they're better. They're more accessible, they're more complete. And they're more understandable. They're meant for persons of this age. And they're by the same author. And from the original, same quality. Okay. So smritis are best. Out of the smritis, what's best? Then he goes through, there's modes of nature. And we know which of the modes of nature is best. Mode of goodness. Out of the mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva is best. So that which is Shuddha Sattva, it goes the mode of goodness Puranas, and there's six, and 18 total Mahapuranas. Mode of goodness ones are best. And even the ones that are not the mode of goodness ones, listen to how they glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amala Purana. And they say, he's the best. This one is the best. And are specified which one is this one. Not just by name, but the subject matter, the things that make Srimad Bhagavatam unique. There's no other Purana that describes, except Devi Bhagavat, there's no other Purana that describes the Vritrasura story. There's no other Purana that's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra and Gayatri Mantra, and there's 18,000 verses, and there's things that qualify it. That's the one, just in case you got confused. That's the one. It's like those of you that know academia will understand this immediately. Imagine, those that know academia, you go into a conference room, and there's a bunch of professors, and you're a graduate student, and you say, I have a very important question, but before I present the question, I'd like to know which amongst all of you is the greatest authority I should address the question to. What's going to happen? Well, what the Puranas say is they all point to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the best one. Whatever he says, we'll accept. And in learned academia, that doesn't happen. But in the Puranas, it happens. They all point to Srimad Bhagavatam as the best, Amala Purana. They also use this term, Amala Purana, that it's the best means. So if we're going to find Harikatha, here it is. And in when is it appropriate? Sarvatra Sarvada. Any place, any time. We can't bring the Srimad Bhagavatam into the bathroom, but we can recite the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can chant the holy name in any condition. New York City subways. And distribute the literature to anybody in every circumstance. Almost every circumstance. And Shrotavya, the emphasis beginning, as Prabhupada in the purport is presenting, that the process of hearing comes first. Here's a Bhagavad Gita quiz question. Out of all the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Bhaktivedanta archives began the exercise of transcribing Bhagavad Gita lectures, they found there are certain verses that Prabhupada liked to speak about most. What's that verse that Prabhupada spoke about more than any other verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita? No, not Sarvadharmam. 7.1, Bhagavad Gita. So, Tatshrinu, hear from me. And look in the purport, and Prabhupada makes the same emphasis, the importance of the process of hearing. And in the first verse of the ninth chapter, Krishna says, I am now going to explain to you. It's the same language. It's same. The language is different, the import is the same. Pravakshami. I am now going to explain. Hear from me. Because that's where devotional service begins. We've all had that experience. And our missionary work, our outreach work, is to give persons the opportunity. What's the purpose of our temples? To have loving exchanges and to give persons a chance to hear. Or even outside of our temples, when we go into the public, in their forums, give persons the chance to hear. Give persons the chance to hear. And from that hearing, the inspiration, having received something, it happens naturally, something that's very, very wonderful. When one's heart is pure, you want to give that something very wonderful, not hoard it, but to share it naturally. And similarly, what follows naturally is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described like this, that an example of smaranam or shrotavya is preparing by the process of hearing and chanting and hearing and chanting and hearing and chanting the natural state, not like a memorization kind of experience, but a natural state of constant remembrance awakens by the process of hearing and chanting. It just naturally follows. One follows the next, and then the others follow. Archana, Padasevanam, Vandanam. They follow sequentially, so it all starts from hearing. And that's exactly what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's this opportunity for awakening our dormant Krishna consciousness by the hearing and chanting process. And therefore, tasmat, therefore, sarvatmana, all souls, without exception. There isn't, it's for everyone. All you have to do is be a spirit soul. You a spirit soul? Okay, you're eligible. Okay. Anyone. Everyone's a candidate for receiving the process of devotional service. Some candidates are more challenging than others, but everyone's a candidate. And like Mahatattva's been describing, the packaging may be, you know, neat so they can take it off the shelf and try one on. You know, the packaging may be important, but what's inside is what's most essential. So we want to get people to take that opportunity to hear and chant. I just want to end with a very nice description. You've heard it before, but it's nice to hear it again and again. A commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam was written by one of the disciples of Advaita Acharya. His name was Srinath Chakravarti, and he describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam this way. Arajyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vrajesha Tanayas, Vraja Isha. Who's Vraja Isha? It's Nanda Maharaj. He's the king of Vraj. And Tanayas is his son. Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is describing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be worshipped along with his abode of Vrindavan. And Ramya Kadachit Upasana Vraja Vadhu Vrajena. The best form of worship of all those who are worshippers of Krishna is the Vrajavadu, the damsels of Vraja. And all of them, Vargena, that whole group, they're the best. And we glorify them as a result. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Harikatha, that subject matter that's best of all in describing Krishna. And what does it deliver? Prema Pumarto Mahan. Prabhupada would often just repeat that phrase. Prema Pumarto Mahan. That's where it comes from. Srinath Chakravarti. The fruit, the prayojana, is love of God. is the topmost fruit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one who received and gave to us this glorious Srimad Bhagavatam in the form that we now have it. Idam tatra dara na paraha. It's Lord Chaitanya's opinion that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It's also Shukadeva Goswami's opinion. But it's Lord Chaitanya's opinion that we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the glorious worship of Krishna performed by the residents of Vrindavan, and in particular, the best of all, the gopis serving Krishna in the best of all ways. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes?
Normally, the Vaishnavs, they refrain from wanting to be glorified. Or they'll, shy away from devotees speaking about them. So, but in the case of Krishna, we're hearing that that to hear and glorify about Krishna is very pleasing to him. It's a service to him. He enjoys that. Can you explain that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Why does he enjoy that? One way to think why he enjoys that is it's natural. We're not Krishna, but Krishna is Krishna. He is Raso Vaisaha. And we're not Krishna. So if we enjoy having others speak nicely about us, for a Vaishnava, we don't want to do that. But for Krishna, it's perfectly natural. He's the cynosure of all happiness. But also, second understanding is that Krishna wants our happiness, and it's our happiness to glorify him. Krishna doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient. But when we glorify him, we benefit. Therefore, he becomes very happy. It's not the happiness we feel when somebody, it's another kind of happiness. It's a loving happiness. The well-being of the other is being attained by that. The flow of loving mood toward Krishna is awakened by our doing that. And Krishna likes. Krishna relishes that loving aptitude. And it's for our benefit. Our suffering is over. That's very nice. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Prabhupada Ki Jai.